Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome back, everyone. Our next guest is Josh Brown, and he's joining us from Carmel, Indiana. Now, Josh is a franchise attorney, and he calls his law office the Law Office of Josh Brown, and also Franchise Euphoria. And Josh is an entrepreneur and franchise attorney. He helps people start and grow businesses that scale and grow, and he also helps people buy franchises and grow their businesses through franchising the smart way. So I'm looking forward to talking about that. He's also the creator and host of Franchise Euphoria, a top-rated podcast on iTunes. And so, Josh, welcome to the show.
Great. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us today. It's a real pleasure to have you on, and especially wanted to hear more about what Franchise Euphoria, the podcast, is all about. So tell us a little bit about your background and what you do.
Sure. Yeah, I've been a practicing attorney now for a little over 8 years, and have my own practice with a complete focus on entrepreneurs and franchising. And I really developed this practice over the course of the last 4 or 5 years. My first few years as an attorney, I did more of the traditional, insurance defense, worked for big firms, mm-hmm. I clerked for a judge. And then I really found out and determined and thought about, God, what do I really want to do? You know, surely there's more than just being an insurance defense attorney. No offense to anybody who is, but that just really wasn't for me. And before I went to law school, I had worked for a 5-year period of time in the real world and had the opportunity to help a couple different franchise systems, and in particular franchisee owner operators, start and grow their franchise. And as I was thinking about and starting to work more with small businesses, I thought, how can I niche myself in a particular area? And franchising came to mind. And I started researching it and looking into it. I thought, man, there's just a lot of interesting legal issues and business issues that go along with franchising. I've got a business background in it. And so I started developing that practice over time, and really started out helping people looking to buy franchises. You know, there was an interesting statistic that I heard not too long, well, it was a couple years ago, but mm-hmm. that something to the effect of 85% of people who buy a franchise don't get professional assistance, legal wow. counsel, an accountant, anything like that.
And those franchise agreements, those are like 10-point type and single-spaced for about 4 pages. I mean, they're pretty sophisticated documents, aren't they?
Oh, they're really sophisticated. I mean, by federal law and by many state laws, you know, they have to present what's called a franchise disclosure document. And usually that's about 200 pages, and encompassed within that, or sometimes in addition to it, are the franchise agreements and promissory notes if they're doing any kind of financial lending, and non-competes. I mean, all sorts of documentation. And here's the real important point, though, as I tell people. You know, people always say, hey, why should I have an attorney review the franchise agreement? Because there's nothing we can change. It's a standard agreement.
I was just going to ask that. They look so already done.
Well, and to a certain extent, that may be true. I mean, if you're going to buy a McDonald's or a Subway or something, there's probably not going to be too much negotiation. But the vast majority of franchises are not McDonald's and Subway. Mm-hmm. Franchising goes across every single economic sector. And there's a lot of startup franchises that really don't have their systems down and really are looking to work with the franchisees to help through that process. So, A, there is negotiation points. But perhaps more importantly is most people don't understand what they're locking themselves into. You know, if you go and start a business off the street and you say, hey, I want to go set up my own sub shop, you know, Bill's sub shop. Mm-hmm. If it doesn't work, then you basically could just move on a year later. But most franchise agreements, the average franchise agreement is 10 years long.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yes. And so you're looking at a minimum of 5 years. The average one is 10 years, and some are 15 and 20 years. So as a potential buyer, you're locking yourself into a 10-year agreement. It's really important that you understand what you're getting into.
Well, yeah, and it's the first opportunity for a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people go from having a being in business with someone else or some other situation, and now they're going to buy into a franchise. So they've probably never looked at these things before. So what are some of the key elements or the first kind of things that you would look at as an attorney to say, you know what, we have some wiggle room here, here, and here. Here's three or four points you should look at.
Well, I think even beyond that, I mean, the first step I look at is, you know, is this going to be a good fit for you? Because at the end of the day, the best franchise owners are really exceptional managers. And so you need to basically look at, you know, a lot of people who go into franchising are coming from the corporate world. They may be retirees. They may be. And so you need to make sure, look at their experiences and look at what they bring to the table. Beyond that, if you're just looking at points that you would negotiate, a big negotiation point is on territories and restrictions and geographic locations.
Okay.
And, you know, a lot of times there's a huge issue in franchising involving what they call encroachment issues, where you have franchise where you may have a defined territory within the agreement. And it may appear to be a defined territory, but when you look closer, the franchisor has carved out exceptions. Let me give you an example. I reviewed an agreement not that long ago where there was a defined territory, but there was a carve out for, well, if you're on a college campus, we have the ability to go into certain buildings within the campus. Well, this particular restaurant, that would have killed business because his territory, he was looking to go into a university campus. And so there was the potential for the franchisor to come in. And while he's opened up in the retail shop across the street, now there's another location opened up in the student building across the hall.
Right.
What's that going to do to his business?
Yeah, I always wonder about that. I was actually in, I think it was New York City, and I saw one of those very popular coffee shops with another one of those very popular coffee shops right across the street. And I was thinking, who signed that deal? You know, I mean, is that so you have there's some kind of clauses that you need to look for that give them the opportunity that say, yeah, your sandwich shop is safe now, but we might, 3 years from now, build one two blocks away.
Exactly. And there's like in Indiana, there's a state franchise statute. And in 15 other states, there's state franchise laws. Mm. Not every state has that. Indiana, as an example, has a specific statute that says, hey, franchisor, you can't do that. You specifically cannot do that. You can't even have that as a term. And so that's more of a consumer protection type of term, which if the state didn't have that, they could potentially get away with that in terms of how they define their territory. Another huge issue, and becoming more and more prevalent, is everything with the internet, right? Depending on the type of franchise you have, if you're selling certain products that can also be sold on the internet, a lot of these agreements allow for the franchisor to continue to sell those through their own site or on their portal. And what's that going to do to your sales? How's that going to impact your sales? As another example, another big issue is that people just really don't think about is there's always a royalty component to a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of franchises, instead of doing most people think of royalties as they're going to make a payment over the course of 1 month. So you're going to take your gross sales and you're going to pay X percentage, 6%, 7%, whatever it is over a month. A lot of them now are doing the royalty each week. So why is that important? There's an important distinction there because depending on your franchise, if you have a credit card heavy franchise, you know, you're a quick service restaurant and most people use credit cards. We know that through those transactions, before the money hits your bank, it's going to be about 3 business days
right.
before that happens.
Yeah.
So what does that do? You're still going to owe the money on the gross where it may not have hit your bank account, and it can cause some real cash flow issues right off the bat for a franchisee.
That's a great point and something I'm sure not many of our listeners would think about. Now, Josh, a lot of our listeners, our audience is overage 50 plus business owners that are thinking about their next opportunity. They're thinking about, okay, if I can exit my business, I'm going to transition and I don't want to just sit around the house. I want to do something else. And maybe that's buy a business. So why are franchises a good opportunity for that age group?
Well, they're a good opportunity on a number of fronts, and it's not across the board, right? So, you know, I think there's a big misnomer that, you know, franchises do so much better than non-franchise business. That's just simply, the numbers don't bear that out, especially for the first 5 years. But why franchises, why I love franchising and why I think it can be such a great opportunity is that, in theory, if you have somebody who's been in a career, who's been in a corporate career, and has certain experiences and is used to following instructions and following somebody else's deal, if you can find the right franchise that is established, that actually does have brand recognition, that actually does have good systems and processes, and actually is proven to be profitable in more than just one geographic location, that can be a great marriage between somebody who's been around and has some experience and understands the value in following somebody else's system as opposed to recreating it themselves.
Sure.
And so I think that's the biggest pull. But the reality is this, and I tell everybody this, no matter what business you buy, franchise, or you start your own, your first 6 to 9 months are going to be tough. I mean, you're going to be working a lot, and you're going to have either you're going to have cash or the availability to get cash or capital so that you can deal with those capital crunches that typically occur in the first 6 to 9 month ramp up period.
Yeah, it's true of any business. It's not a path to riches. It's hard work involved, but sometimes if you catch the right one, then by reputation, it'll help that growth that much more. But would you advise someone who might be looking at this to maybe look for something that's not hot yet and grow with that, an up-and-comer, if you will?
Well, yeah, it depends on the up-and-comer. I mean, the number one question I get across the board is, hey, what's a hot franchise? What's the hot franchise? It's sort of like, you know, what's the hot stock? I tell people, I kind of put it in perspective this way, is, okay, franchising, there was just a statistic that showed that 1 in 9 employees now work for a franchise of some sort. So think about that. 1 in 9 across the economy, U.S. economy, work for a franchise. So to say what's hot, it's like somebody coming up and saying, what's a hot business for me to go buy? Well,
right.
You know, what do you enjoy? What do you like? What are your experiences? But I would say as a general nature, I mean, there's that fine line. You don't want to buy something that's been overexposed and now there's really no growth potential, because really in a lot of ways, the real potential to make good money as a franchisee is through multi-unit ownership. And so you want to make sure that...
Good point.
Yeah, you want to make sure that you're not buying in a territory where you're the last McDonald's that's going to be able to go in here, or so you want that growth opportunity. You don't want it to be too young, because oftentimes you're overpaying for something that isn't truly developed and you can't take advantage of the brand recognition, but you also don't want to pay for something where you don't have the opportunity to grow down the road.
Yeah, I was just wondering if, say, I came and visited you in Carmel and I realized that there's a hot new pizza place that's making its way across the country, and I don't see that many of them out here yet. But you just answered a great question I was going to ask you, and that is, you know, how do you really make money in these things? And it's by owning multiple stores and being able to leverage in a particular area.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, there's outliers to that. I mean, there are certain franchises where they really only want single unit ownership. And if you do it well, and if you're in a good territory and you have good management and you have good people, you can do well. But what I find is, in most situations, the way you're really going to make money is if you have a plan to go to multi-unit ownership. And really, franchisors are looking towards multi-unit owners in a lot of instances now, because they have proven operators there and it's a benefit for their system. And by the way, it doesn't always have to be multi-unit within the same franchise. There's some extremely successful franchisees that own a huge number of units in a lot of different franchise systems, and they've just proven to be great operators.
Good point, and brings up another question. And you start seeing these franchises within franchises within franchises. It seems like they're teaming up a lot to save on real estate and promotional costs, and then they put it all into a gas station. What's going on with all that?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, that's exactly right. I mean, they're saying to themselves, if you have complementary franchise systems and they can work well together, then it helps both of them, because they're able to save on the real estate costs and they're able to capture more markets and each can take advantage of that.
I love the topic. I love talking with you. You're great. Great wealth of knowledge of all on this topic. And is this what you cover on your podcast on iTunes and Franchise Euphoria? This type of stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. It's strategy education, consulting type information for the franchise community. One thing to say is it actually has now spun off into a whole separate business. And I now have a partner who is from Chicago, who comes at it from a corporate background. So between the two of us, we're building out an online component where we're going to be a full service type resource for the franchise community, where people who are looking to buy franchises, people who are looking to expand their business through franchising, can now take advantage of a community type resource that's objective in nature. You know, we're not being paid by somebody else to promote a franchise system, but we're there to help people who are looking to get into franchising or expand through the franchise process.
I think that's fantastic. And as we know, with 10,000 people turning age 65 a day, there's a lot of people in the situation where they're saying, what do I do next? And that's one area they're going to be looking at heavily. So, Josh, how do our listeners get in touch with you and your partner? And what's the best way?
Best way is you can reach out to me at josh@franchiseeuphoria.com. I'm also on Twitter at Indie Franchise Law. I'm on all the social media platforms, but really email's the best way. Or you can even do it the old-fashioned way. You can give me a call at 317-688-9111.
Well, for our listeners that are listening on iTunes or other mobile platforms, come back to our website, exitcoachradio.com, and you'll find some show notes about Josh, and including these email addresses and website addresses, and also a link to his ebook, What to Know Before You Buy a Franchise. So, Josh, thanks very much for joining us today. Really great information. I'd love to have you back on some other time.
Would love to do it. Thanks for having me.
Been talking with Josh Brown, the law office of Josh Brown and Franchise Euphoria in Carmel, Indiana. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. So please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.